Lili Nishmasai. And Skosa Yaganalenu.
Amen.
To the yard side of Eli Melech of Lezhensk today. Was. Well, is.
Is.
At
least for all those so, 15 minutes.
L'chaim. Okay, let's jump in. Let's take a look at the teaching that we have today. Thank you guys so much for joining. There's an incredible pasuk in Tehillim. And the pasuk in Tehillim says, Ashrei maskil eldol, fortunate is someone. Different interpretations. Let's go with who is conscious of the poor. Right? Maskil comes from the word seichel, to be aware of, to be thinking about. And dull is the impoverished. A person who's focused and aware on the dull, on those people that are in need. B'yoyim ra'a, on a bad day, Yimalteu Hashem. Maybe if other people are coming, maybe just B'yoyim ra'a Yimalteu Hashem. On a difficult day, Hashem will save that person. A person who's in the category of Ashrei. Okay. A person is in the category of Maskil Eldol. The Gemara darshins, the Gemara learns that this is a reference actually to Bikur Cholim. Maskil Eldol, the Gemara discusses that there are different kinds of people who are called Dal, who are impoverished. There's being impoverished financially, there's being impoverished in health. And Maskil Eldol means to be aware of a person who needs social support, companionship. To go and visit a person who's impoverished in their health, so Hashem will pay us back. If we're conscious and we're aware of the other people that need us, Hashem is aware when we are in need. And there's an aura of consciousness surrounding us because we have engaged with the world with consciousness, being aware of the needs of others. And that's like Mida Keneged Mida, right? It's like this standard structure where Hashem sets the system up in a way of consequences, both positive and negative. That's just the way that the machine works, right? We get what energy we put out, right? The way that we live toward others is the way that the system works in such a way that that like another pasuk in Dillim says, Hashem Tzilcha, Hashem is your shadow, right? And the Medrash says that the same way that a person moves, the shadow moves, Hashem it reacts and responds in kind. And so that's the simple meaning of this pasuk. Ashrei maskil eldol, fortunate is a person who is conscious and aware of those in need, he's going to be the beneficiary of the consciousness of the divine.
We had something similar once in terms of Hashem Tzilcha, where we discussed HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the light and a person getting into his own way.
Yes, right, right. Meaning putting, I think we learned about putting things in the way of Hashem's light.
Right.
And that's also, right, you get what you put out. That's a similar construct. Yeah. So here Ibn Achman says like this, very deep. He reads this in a completely different way. Isa, he says, the Gemara Nedarim tells us, again, this the concept of poverty could mean across the spectrum many different things. The Ein Anius Elam in Hadas. The Gemara Nedarim tells us that actually there's no greater form of poverty than a person who's impoverished of Das. How would you translate Das if you had the opportunity to translate it? What would you say?
It's knowledge.
Knowledge. Yeah, that's how you would translate it.
Some people used to call it social skills.
Yeah, could be knowledge, social skills, right? I would translate it as awareness or consciousness, right? Really, chachma is intellect. It's difficult, to, you know, in English, words are somewhat arbitrary. In Hebrew, words actually have an actual intrinsic meaning. You can break it down to the root and you can analyze it in all aspects. How is knowledge different than intellect, you know? Intellectual information, knowledge, it's all sort of like, you know, different synonyms for the same concept. But there's chachma, and then there's bina, and then there's das. And generally speaking, when we think about the difference between das and chachma and bina are abstractions. Chachma is oriented with a big picture vision of whatever it is that a person's thinking about or a project that a person begins. A person has just the big picture vision of what he wants to do. That's called chachma. Bina is starting to think about the details. How am I going to actually do this, right? What are the steps and what are the materials and what do I need over how big a period of time and how am I going to set aside the time necessary to carry out the project? It's still all in the head, but that's detail-oriented. And then the das is actually taking all of that abstracted intellectual information and bringing it down into the lived experience of how to actually go about doing that thing.
Like brainstorming, like Chachma is like my brainstorm.
Yes, exactly. Well, I would say Chachma really is the brainstorm, because that connotes like, you know, just a storm of different elements. And then Bina is the settled, it's called Mabin Davar Mitoich Davar, to draw the distinctions between this step of it and that element of it. And then the Das is what I need, what's called, there's Das Elyon, Das Tachton, or Das Hamispashit. It's when the what I know is able to come down and impact the actual doing of it, right? It's what motivates the activity. That's why the Pasuk that refers to the heart and the importance of being able to bring down what we know down into our heart refers to the word das. Via data hayom, you should know today. It doesn't say, you know, a form of the word chachma or bina. Via data hayom, vashivose elavavecha. Right? You draw it down into your heart. That's called das hamispashit. Okay. Das hamispashit. So says Rabbi Nachman, Isa de'ena nias elemen adas, the true poverty is a person who's lacking consciousness, lacking awareness. Ba'al zet tzarech rachmanas. Rabbi Nachman says a person who's lacking awareness, what's the ultimate awareness? We would call that emunah, right? A person who's really awake to the realization that there's a deeper reality taking place. There's something beyond what we're able to understand, the narratives that we can track. There's a meta-narrative that includes every possible narrative that we couldn't ever begin to imagine. There's Hashem who's running the world, right? There's a deeper level of reality. Right, the bigger picture, a person who's aware of all of what's taking place, even if he doesn't understand, he can't track exactly, because if we would know him, Iliadativ, the Pasuk says, if we would have the level of awareness that Hashem has, he Yisif, we would be him. Right? Obviously it's impenetrable, it's beyond what we're able to grasp. But a person who's aware of that has everything. Like the Gemara tells us in Das Kanita Machasarta. If you have Das, so what do you lack? Right? But if you don't have Das, so then what do you have? Right? What do you have? So Ein Anias, the Gemara Nedarim, is telling us there's nothing as reflective of poverty greater than a person who doesn't have this level of awareness, which we're going to learn about now. V'al zed tzarech rachmanas, Rabbi Nachman says, you have to have a lot of rachmanas on such a person. Ke'ein rachmanas gedoyle mizeh. When you see a person who's living a constricted lifestyle, who's not aware of, you know, that fancier word, that meta-narrative, a person who's not living with that awareness or the possibility that there's something beyond what they think they understand, rachmanas, because it's such a constricted way to live, as we're going to see. Va'anias zeh, says Rabbi Nachman, this kind of anias, this kind of poverty, is bechlalias ubepratias. It exists on the collective level, and it also exists on the pratyastic level, on the particular level. Beklalius, what this means is, generally speaking, al ish ein lo seichel ba'avodas habayre, a person who has absolutely no deeper level of awareness in serving Hashem. And now this could mean a person who has no connection at all to the service of the divine, a person who's stam living a materialistic, you know, very nihilistic way of engaging with experience. Just on the surface level, all there is things and matter and, you know, physical things, and a person who doesn't have any connection to the world of the spirit in one way or another. So obviously, in such a person, what can you do? A person's living without awareness of, like, what is life all about? You know, what is the value of time? What is the value of being human? What are the potential possibilities that we can turn our lives into, that we can be of service to others, that all of us together can be of service to the world, that the whole world can be of service to the divine, and so on? So obviously, it goes without saying, but it means much deeper also. Al ishein leisechel b'avodas habayre doesn't necessarily need to mean a person who's not aware that there's more to life than meets the eye, that we're here for a mission, that we're here for a purpose, that there are great, you know, incredible dramas that we can be involved in, that we could participate in, that we can really do something in this world. Doesn't necessarily need to just mean that. It can mean a person who's aware of all of this, a person who's keeping Shabbos, a person who's putting on tefillin, a person who's engaged in acts of kindness, charity, and so on and so forth. But there's a way of doing that with seichel, meaning plugged into the deeper dimension, aware that this is all a vehicle for something greater, for a spiritual experience, for a mystical experience ultimately, for a revelation of the deeper level of who they are, of their soul, to help them engage with the world in a deeper way. That's called Avodas Hashem with Seichel. And then there could be a person who's serving God, but it's without Seichel. What does it mean without Seichel? It means by rote, robotically.
Unconscious living.
Unconscious living, exactly. To be a person who's going through the motions without the deeper awareness that this is here for a reason, right? Where there's a purpose for all of this, and it's greater than the sum of its parts, which really means dvekos, which means coming into a real relationship with God, which is all encompassing, which is spills over outside of the shul and outside of the Beis Medrash, and into every aspect of life, into every experience, into every moment, into everything. So that's on what we would call the collective level. And to a person who's tasted a little bit of seichel, what it could look like to serve Hashem in a deeper way, a person like that knows that there's tremendous mercy. You feel rachmanis on people who are anyway doing all the right things, but chaval, because how much joy they could feel that it's their birthright, you know, and they're not. What a chaval. And there are many, many millions of madrigas of the levels of this, to the point that the tzaddikim who had the greatest das, to them, from their perspective, and it's not out of judgment, it's just the fact, the way that they looked at the rest of Am Yisrael is like, what a rachmanis, you know, how, and not because, again, they were looking down on us to say that they were serving Hashem on such a lofty level, and look at these, you know, chever, just schleppers. They really felt we could do it so easily. If we would have what Rav Kook called, if we would have rachmanis on ourselves, if we would stop being cruel to ourselves and allow our souls to live the way that our souls want to live, we would get out of the way and really allow ourselves to immerse ourselves in davening, to immerse ourselves in learning for as we can with the time that we have, how much more illuminated could life be, right? And that's from their perspective. They had rachmanis on us. They wanted us to taste the das that they tasted, but of course it's all relative. And so from every person's perspective, how much das we are privileged to access, there are always those to whom we could look toward with mercy, with rachmanis.
It's such a beautiful story for a man.
Yeah, let's say for that. Yeah. Okay, so that's on the one hand, that's called b'klalius. V'tzarech ha'bal seichel ha'skiloi. And it's our obligation, and again, like I pointed out, it's all relative levels. So wherever we're at, there's someone to the left. You know, so there's someone who's not yet, I don't mean politically or spiritually, I didn't, chas v'shalom. I mean like b'smoyla o sheva chavad, like there's someone who's been left out, let's say. Okay, there's someone who could use the wisdom that we have accessed, who can use the encouragement, who can use the greater level of consciousness that we can help people, like, there's more to this. But then it would pratius, and this is true for each and every person, no matter how much das they have, and this is so crucial, because one is a constant, one is a general, you know, category, like, what degree of das does the person have, did the person access, what's the baseline level of functioning, that's the first category, but then no matter what category that person fits in, there's always going to be ups and downs. There's no such thing as a person who's static, right? And that's why life, everybody knows, is represented on the EKG monitor as up and down. That's the ebb and flow of life. That's the inward and outward of the breath. That's the beating and the set resting of the heart. That's life. To the point that is a beautiful Torah from Reb Tzadik, based on a teaching from his Rebbe, the Ishbitzer, where Moshe Rabbeinu at the very end of Devarim says, "Hini anoichi holich lamos." He says, "I'm." I don't know. No, he doesn't actually say that. That's what Esav says, Lahavdil. But there's a similar lashon that he uses, that I'm going to die because lo yuchal lases v'lavai. I'm no longer able to go out and to come in. And that means on a literal level, Moshe Rabbeinu would walk around to the different encampments and he would make his way around and he would resolve different issues and he would go back and forth between the places where the Bnei Yisrael were encamped and the Mishkan and the Ohel Moed and back and forth. He says, I'm no longer able to go out and come in. But says Reb Tzadik, what that really means is that Moshe Rabbeinu on his madriga was not able to have on his level an experience of going in. Right, meaning of entering greater levels of Avodas Hashem and Latzeis and having Yuridas and having spiritual failures on his level or lapses. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, if I'm in a place where I see that my Jewish experience is no longer going up and down, mountains and valleys, and days and nights and summers and winters, like all of nature is composed of these cyclical experiences, I'm finished, because life is defined by these experiences.
What was his experience at that point?
He had reached a point of stasis, of static. Right? He had reached a point where the Arizal says that at the moment that Moshe Rabbeinu left this world, he died, he passed away, his neshama left on Har Nevo, right? On what's called the Mountain of Nevo. And the Arizal explains that the word Nevo is a conjugation of two elements, Nun, Bo, which means that the 50 gates of Bina, 50 is Gematria Nun is 50, they went in, Bo. And at that point, there's nowhere else to go. Ordinarily, human beings experience just the 49. And over there, we can sink down into the 49 levels of Tuma. We can rise up to the 49 days of Sphira till we get to our Sinai. But no Jew ever reached the 50th level of Bina, other than Moshe Rabbeinu. And the minute that he did, he died. You know, because when a person gets to that level, they're not human anymore. They've gotten to a place of total intimacy with their source in such a way that they're not anymore in the category of humanity. Of the ins and outs, of the ups and downs, of the feeling, because it's all perceptual, and we're going to get to that. The feeling of rising, and then the feeling of falling. It's beyond that.
I wonder if there's a connection with that. Yeshua Ben-Nun.
For sure there is.
The students are considered to be the children of those that taught them.
So Yeshua was Ben-Nun.
Ben-Nun.
Beautiful.
He's the son of...
Yeah, for sure the tzaddikim say that Nun is 50. They use it for different things. But
his father's name was actually Nun, but
right, exactly. So there's the collective level of the person, right? What category is the person? Like, what has the person attained? All of us live life based on our philosophies, based on what we know, based on how we think, and we progress in our behavior based on, you know, the degrees to which we understand things. So we generally exist in a category that's called Beklalius, but then there's Bepratius. No matter what level of general consciousness a person has attained, and this is true for each and every one of us, no matter what level of awareness, again, the greatest tzaddik in the world, other than Moshe Rabbeinu, at the moment of his histalkos leaving the world, there are times when a person will slip and a person will fall from that clarity that we once had, and a person lapses down into what's called a constricted state of consciousness, v'hu nikra, what's called in the deeper mystical text, katnus hamoichen. Katnus, of course, is from the word katan, which means small, constricted, and moichen is consciousness, like moach, right? Our awareness is constricted, is limited. And this has a million different manifestations in many, many different areas of life, in many different ways, and at many different times, and it can remain for sometimes a day, sometimes it could be a week, sometimes it could be a month, sometimes a person could be in katnus de moichin, also katnus ha moichin, or katnus de moichin, or moichin de katnus, it's all the same thing, in a constricted state of consciousness for a year, maybe more. Where a person falls into doubt, and a person falls into confusion, and a person starts to slip in whatever area, or they become limited in their perception to such a degree, and we're going to talk more about this, where they are not able to see a bigger picture. That's really what it all comes down to. I'm going to say a story in a minute about Rav Meilach, right, which is a good expression of Moichin de Katnus and the Moichin de Gadlus. Which we'll get to in a minute. I'll tell one about Rav Meilach and then one about Rav Zusha. But let's just get to the end of this paragraph. So we all have these experiences of katnus hamoichin, and it's normal. And if a person is really on the journey, it's impossible not to have these experiences. It's par for the course. So it's a good indicator that we're moving somewhere. If the road is bumpy, it means you're moving, right? There's only one person to whom the road is not bumpy, and that's a person who is standing still, is not traveling. If you're traveling, especially in Manchester, I say the potholes are terrible there. Other places, you're going to hit potholes. There's going to be ups and downs. V'tzarech lechazigas atzmi lo v'legad l'samoichin, says Rabbi Nachman. What is our job in those moments is to do everything we can, lechazigas atzmi, to strengthen and encourage ourselves, lovei, to arrive at what's called legad l'samoichin, to an expanded consciousness, like gadlus hamoichin gadol, to see the bigger picture, right? To be a person that's living with a sense of gadlus. And I'm gonna explain this a bit more deeply in a minute. When a person arrives at an expanded state of awareness, says the Rebbe, nimtakim kol hadinim. All of the constricted judgments that are on a person, all the limitations, all the difficulties, are sweetened in that moment. And by changing our perception, by changing our way of thinking, which changes our way of acting, which changes our way of communicating, what happens is, everything is sweetened. We can draw upon ourselves real mercy. It's true. So let's just give a little bit what we mean when we speak about katnus demaychin and godless demaychin. So first a story, the Bala Yartzeit, the Rebbe Amailach, it's a very famous story, I'm sure you've heard it before, but it's good to review. There was a time when, for whatever reason, the peasants, the locals, would round up Jews for one reason or another, find a pretense, and they'd throw them into prison, keep them there for a night, just to torment them. And this one once happened, that they saw two Jews walking on the periphery of the forest. It was the two holy brothers of Meilach, Rabbi Elimelech of Lezhensk, who was the Baal Yartzeit, and his brother of Zusha, this inseparable, inimitable pair, these brothers, who served Hashem together for many hours in the forest. And they came, the ruffians, the peasants, they grabbed them and they threw them into a prison. And some made up charge of suspicion or something. And they kept them overnight. And it came time to say Kriya Shema. And they both said, okay, it's time to say Kriya Shema Shel Arvus, the sun had set, it's time to daven Maariv. And they noticed that there was a garbage, like a rubbish bin, but it was for more than just rubbish. There's no toilets, no bathrooms, and porta potty, yeah, but not so sophisticated. It was just a pail, and it was sitting there in the corner, and it was dirty. Either one of them had used the restroom, or it was from before. And they said, halacha dictates, like, how are we going to say Krishma? I can't daven in the proximity of waste. And the Rebbe Amailach starts to cry. And he's crying, like, look at our situation. We can't even say Kriya Shema. We can't even daven. Like, the one thing that we had, we don't have our tefillin with us, but ein koyach, ein lano, we have ela bepeh, we thought we could daven, we can't even daven. What should we do? And this is what we would call katnas demoichin, again, on his level. Right? Meaning assessing the situation, this is the facts, right? The facts are, we need a daven, we cannot daven, and that's the situation. And so many times in life, this is how we assess things. We take a look at what is, and we come to the logical conclusion, or that seems to us logical given our assessment of the circumstances, and we become completely blind to the possibility that there's a broader way of looking at this. And here comes Reb Zusha to the rescue. Reb Zusha tells Reb Melech, he says, why are you crying? He says, the same Hashem who wants that we should say Kriya Shema when we're able to say Kriya Shema, and that's what Halacha says, is that we should daven Maariv, we should say Kriya Shema. His very same Torah is the same Torah that says that under this set of circumstances where a person is proximity of waste and they can't, what should they do? They should specifically not say Kriya Shema. What a privilege that we have to serve Hashem in this way, that we get to keep this halacha. It's no different. Right now, the avoida that we have is not to say Kriya Shema, and that gives Hashem just as much as we would have given him by saying Kriya Shema, by davening Maariv. Gadlus hamoichin. Right? Did the circumstance change? Nothing changed. But a broader awareness, a broader sense of approaching, of looking at, of approaching what is, really can shift everything. And so they started dancing and dancing and dancing around this bucket because they were so excited. What a privilege that this bucket put them in this circumstance where they get to keep this halacha. Wow. And they're dancing and the soldiers come and they see them dancing. What's making these two Jews so happy? And so they storm into the cell and they grab them. What's going on over here? So Rav Zusha tells him, he says, we have to tell you, you know, asking us. So we'll tell you honestly, this bucket is making us so incredibly overjoyed because we get to fulfill the will of God who says, and they said, if this is making you so happy, we're confiscating it, taking contraband. They pulled the bucket out and then they davened Ma'arif. So it's exactly this. When you come to Godless Demoichen, you open up new channels. You open up brand new channels. And okay, in this case, the situation actually shifted. But sometimes the circumstance doesn't actually need to change. But if we change our way of thinking, we said this in a previous year, memela, the situation changed. Because again, perspective is everything. And if we can broaden our perspective, so maybe it turns out that the situation b'chlal wasn't as bad as we thought it was. That's called Godless Demoichen. That's called arriving at a broader, greater, higher, loftier experience of what is. I'll tell you another, also Reb Zusha. It's not his yahrzeit today, but it's like these two brothers are so connected. If you speak about one, you speak about the other. So there was a story with Reb Zusha, who was a Talmud of the Magen of Mizrich, so the primary disciple of the Baal Shem Tov. And some of the Chassidim of the Magid came to him and they asked for a pshat in the Gemara and Brachas. The Gemara and Brachas says, "Kishim shemavarchim al hara," the same way that a person makes a bracha on a negative tiding, a person makes barach dayna emes, right? Chas v'shalom, a person loses someone, barach dayna emes. I'm sorry, the opposite. Kishim shemavarchim al toiv, the same way that a person makes a bracha over good things that happen, barach toiv ametiv, kach mavarchim al hara. Right, the same way a person has to make a bracha over the negative things. It's not the same bracha, at least in our current reality. Ultimately, it's going to be the same bracha. That's very deep. It's all the same. But in our reality, there are two different brachas. So the Hasidim took a look at that Gemara, and they said, take a look at the wording. Kishem shemavarchim alatoiv. It says, in the same way. Not just, oh, there's a bracha on the good things, and there's also a bracha to make on the negative things. It says kishem, and they inferred from there that you have to make the bracha with the same fervor and the same enthusiasm and the same joy and the same everything that we make a bracha, barcha tov ametiv, kach mevarchem al hara. You have to make a bracha over something negative in the same way. Like, how's that possible? Such a lofty madrega. That with the same excitement and gratitude for something incredible that happens, a person should make a bracha over something horrible that happens? How could that be? So the Magen of Mizrich told the Hasidim, he says, this is a really deep question. You have to ask Reb Zusha this question. You ask Reb Zusha this question, he has the answer for you. So Reb Zusha lived in abject poverty. Mamish, I mean, he the stories, crazy, wild stories about the way that he lived, and it wasn't like he was, we're going to see in a minute, like he was, people were neglecting him. He didn't need anything, didn't want anything. But he lived with the barest minimum of this worldly possessions and experience. And so the Hasidim came to him and they asked him this question. And he said to them, I don't understand this question. He said, what do you mean? He said, I'll tell you the truth. Nothing bad ever happened to me. So I don't understand how you're asking how you can make the same bracha on something that happened bad. It says nothing. I don't know. You have to ask someone else. Nothing bad ever happened to me. So the Magid meant to send them to Reb Zusha because to see a person who lived on this level where he was of a completely different consciousness, Bechlal, it's a different thing, right? It's a different thing. From there, you're able to get a little glimpse of what it can mean to live on that level. And it's attainable. It takes a lifetime of, you know, strengthening the muscle of Amunah to get to that Madrega. But that's called Godless Hamoichen. Right? That's called living in a different way. Katnas Hamoichen, constricted consciousness. Bavitzarech lechazik es atzmai. A person needs to encourage himself, lovely, to get to a place of what's called Godless Hamoichen. And again, ukeshebal Godless Hamoichen, when a person arrives at that state, nimtakim kol adinim, all of the constrictions, all the judgments, all the difficulties are sweetened. Umam shechalav chasadim verachamim. And he can draw upon himself a lot of mercy. And this is like the famous expression, trach good, if you think good, umed zayin good. It can really change the reality. It really can. It can absolutely transform the experience. So says Rabbi Nachman, This is what the Gemara says in Brachas. Gedoyla Deya. This kind of consciousness, awareness, is so great. Shenitna bein shnei oisios, because it was given between two holy names. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Kikel Deyos Hashem. Hashem is a knowing God. So we see the word Das situated between two names of Hashem, Kel and Yud Kei Vav Kei, and the Gemara says, wow, you can infer from here the greatness, the potential of Das, what that can do, the gates it could open up, because look where it is. It's positioned in between two names of Hashem. Pirish, says Rabbi Nachman, Kishayav legadlos hamoichin, when a person comes to expanded awareness and consciousness, this is going to open up the gates for rachamim and chasadim, Hashem's kindness and Hashem's mercy. How do we know? Because look at these two words that it's situated between, kel and yud kei vav kei. The word kel is always a reference to chesed. Al derech, as the pasuk Tehillim says, chesed kel kol hayayim. God's kindness is the whole day. God's kindness is flowing down. Hashem is rachamim. Al derech, as the pasuk says, rachamecha rabim Hashem. Hashem, your mercy is great. So kel is chesed. Hashem is rachamim. And the pasuk says, ki kel deos Hashem. If I want to access chesed and rachamim, deos. A person needs to become aware of a deeper level of reality. And look at the word that Rabbi Nachman uses to describe what tool we have to bring ourselves across the narrow bridge from constricted consciousness to expansive consciousness. What's the word? V'tzarech lechazek es atzmai. Encouragement. And this is the key to this lesson over here. Encouragement, encouragement, encouragement. Because more often than not, as we're going to see from Likut Matanyana, which we'll get to in a minute, the reason that people, that we fall into katnus demoichin, to constricted consciousness, is usually because we are feeling weak in and of our own inner world. Helpless. We are feeling either helpless, or we are falling into self-doubt. We are looking at ourselves negatively. And when a person is in a state of chalishos, when a person is in a state of weakness, so they fall into tunnel vision. They lose sight of the bigger picture, of different possibilities. They become extremely insecure. And in insecurity, it may seem like all the doors are closed, even doors that might be open. And it's all depending on how we see ourselves. To the extent that we find it within ourselves to carry on and believe that there are opportunities and that et cetera, across the spectrum of life, doors are open. Kikel Deus Hashem, Chesed, Rachamim. But you see, it's all subjective. It all depends on how we view ourselves. So over there, Rabbi Nachman is giving us a hint. We fall into chalishas, and therefore we fall into katnas hamoichin. And so how do we get out of it? L'chazik es atzmai. Got to strengthen ourselves. So let's take a look back in the lesson. This is the deeper explanation of what David HaMelech is teaching us over here. Ashrei maskil eldal. What did we learn about the word dal? Who did we say is the most impoverished, says the Gemara Nedarin? Ein ani ela min hadas. Right? The Gemara in Nedarim, take a look at the second line to the top. De ein anias ela min hadas. That's what it means to be a impoverished person, to be a person who lacks. And das chasarta makanisa. If you don't have awareness, so what do we have? So if that's what dal means, if that's really what it means to be poor, so then we understand, Ashrei, fortunate is the one who is maskil el dal, who fills that void of impoverished intellect, awareness, with maskil, with seichel. Hainu kishehu bekatnas hamoichin. Fortunate is a person that when they fall into constricted consciousness, when they feel helpless, and therefore they feel hopeless, and therefore they feel like they can't carry on, but he has enough wisdom even there left over to realize this is not really the truth. This is just my subjective interpretation of things. And it's just because right now I'm in a state of katnus. But that's not, that says nothing definitive about the objective reality that we're in. It's just the way that I'm perceiving it right now. And so I need to make a shift, not necessarily in the circumstance. I need to make a shift in my thinking. So when I could be maskil el dol, maskil atzmai, legadlus hamoichin, and a person has enough seichel, even then when he loses all seichel, to recognize, it's me, it's on me. And I have to work to get myself to a more expanded state of consciousness. I have to work to get myself to a place where I'm not in tunnel vision anymore, but I can see the bigger picture. Azai, says Rabbi Nachman, look at the end of the pasuk. B'yayim ra'a is not like in some distant time, right? Which in the standard explanation of the pasuk, that's what it meant. Ashe maskil el dal, right? That when a person has rachmanus, has mercy, is aware of the need of other people. So b'yayim ra'a, when he's going through a challenge, imalteu Hashem will save him. That's what it means. Al pipshat. That's what it means on a simple level. But over here, it's much deeper. B'yayim ra'a, meaning on that day, which he thinks is a black day, is a dark day, is a day of challenge and impassable obstacles. B'yayim ra'a, yimalteyu yudkevavke. All of a sudden, the shame of Hashem, which is rachamecha rabim Hashem, Hashem's mercy, which is the second of the two names between which das is situated, kikel deyas Hashem. If a person is maskil el dol and he works to get himself to a higher state of consciousness, and a person strengthens himself, that's right, Rabbi Nachman says, sarf l'chazik es atzmoy, to give himself encouragement, to remind himself of who he really is, of what he's all about, of what it means to be a human in this world, to understand the normal and expected flow of rising and falling, that's life. And that doesn't say anything definitive about who we are, other than that we're the humans that God created, to find him dafka here in the moments of darkness and the moments of not having and in the moments where things look like they're falling apart. That is where the good stuff is. That's where, right, like we say, the emunascha dafka baleilos, it's in the dark times when we can give Hashem what he needs from us, that when everything seems to fall apart, just keep on holding on to the light of not knowing, like we spoke about in previous year. So b'yayim ra'a, on that dark day, yimalteyu Hashem, nimtakim kol adinim, you sweeten all the constrictions. And the deepest secret of Baal Shem Tov is teaching us that all the constrictions, all the judgments, all the difficulties, it starts in the mind. It starts in our way of thinking. And this aligns so much with modern psychology, right, where it's all about reframing circumstances. We can't change things. A trauma that happens, an abuse that happens, a circumstance that's tragic, that's difficult, it's just, you can't change that. But what we can change is our perception. And more often than not, and this is true again religiously, metaphysically, psychologically, factually, so, you know, even on the level of our physical experience itself, changing our emotional state can impact our body, really. Can impact our physical health. Can transform the way that we feel. Trach good, when we think good, and vetzayin good, it changes things. And that's what Rabbi Nachman is teaching here. It all begins, ashrei maskil al dol, with our way of thinking. Then, b'yayim ra'a yimalteyu Hashem, everything can change. And here Rabbi Nachman says maybe the most important thing. V'im lo yachol ba'atzmei lava legados hamoichin. What if a person can't? What if a person's trying to get to healthier perspectives? A person knows that really there's emuna, there's a Hashem in this world, and he just can't seem to tap into that. He can't get there. What should he do? Eitzel azeh, says Rabbi Nachman, counterintuitive piece of advice, sheyaskil acherin. Try to teach others. Even if you're not holding, even if you're not in a place where you're plugged into that reality, but you know it, and you know how to say it, and you know how to encourage other people, because ein chavish mater atzmi bibeis asurim, it's so difficult to free oneself, it's much easier to free somebody else. And says Rabbi Nachman, v'yedeze nis'ayr gam etzle, you can get awakened through that too. Even if it seems to you that in and of yourself you can't figure out how to get to that place, find someone else to teach. find someone else to encourage, find someone else to give chizuk to. If you can do that, you'll find that toch kedei, giving chizuk to someone else, it can bring you to a higher state of consciousness as well. Okay, so that's the teaching fundamentally that we wanted to get to. That's Torah Kuf Vav in Likutei Maran. But it's very important to focus in on one word in the second line that leads directly links to it to another teaching on the other side of Likutei Maran, Likutei Maran Tanyana, in the second volume, teaching number 7, which we're going to learn in a minute. So just take a look back at the second line of the teaching where Rabbi Nachman says, Isa, it's brought. De'ein anias ela min hadas. That the true poverty is a person who has no intellect. What did Rabbi Nachman say? Va'alzeh tzarech rachmanos. This requires mercy. Nebuch. It's counterintuitive the way that ordinarily we think about it. It's not an Indian of feeling better than someone else, judging someone else. That's not the response when you're more conscious. Sometimes, you know, even in the secular sense, like consciousness, enlightenment can become a very egotistical experience. Like if a person feels like, oh, like I meditated for an hour and you can only manage, you know, a half hour. That's the opposite of enlightenment, right? That's not where we're trying to get. Where we are trying to get, though, is that to the degree that we have accessed spiritual growth and a person's gotten to a level where they're plugged into a higher state of being, the only natural response vis-a-vis other people is mercy. More compassion. More compassion for them. Not judgment. Compassion. B'alzeh tzarech rachmanes. That's the main thing. To be compassionate for other people. And ki'in rachmanes gedoy l'mizeh. And this requires the greatest compassion of all. Because to be compassionate for a person who has a financial ailment, it's one thing. To be compassionate for a person who has a physical ailment, of course. But in this sense, we're really... that person's experience of their financial lack or of their physical lack or any other kind of challenge that a person has is dependent fundamentally on their way of thinking. So that's the great, and that's what the Gemara says, Ein anias elamin adas. The greatest form of not having is awareness, right? Because again, like the Gemara says, if you have that, even if you're lacking everything else, machasarta, really, what do you lack? Because again, if we can approach things from this place, then a person's good. Even if a person's really not good, a person has emunah, has everything. A person who doesn't have emunah could have everything in the world, but life can still be falling apart.
How does that fit? Because I think someone else says that someone doesn't have das, you're not allowed to have mercy on him.
Yeah. So yeah, Rabbi Nachman deals with this in two teachings. Elsewhere.
It seems to be...
Right. I mean, it's like, how do you start? Where do you start? So Rabbi Nachman says, you have to give the person das, at the same time that you're having rachmanas. Rabbi Nachman has two teachings on that. I'm forgetting the exact Torah, but he speaks about it there. I'll send it to the group afterwards. Bli nader, maybe we can learn it together. Different week. So you understand, that's the greatest rachmanas. Ein rachmanas gedoy l'mizeh. This is the greatest rachmanas we can have in the world. Where people are schlepping around in pain, but they don't necessarily have to be in pain. Even though we can't alleviate their suffering, we can do the best that we can there too. But what we can do is help people come to a greater perception of who they are and what it is to be human and what we can tap into in terms of our awareness of the bigger picture, right, etc. Okay. So now that we found that word rachamim, so we have to go to the most obvious connected teaching, which is the Likutei Maran Tanya Zayin. This teaching is very, very long. It's a glorious, incredible teaching. We're just going to learn one small part of it, which is the beginning of it. And even here, I didn't take every element. Says the Rebbe. The Pasuk Yeshayahu tells us, Ki merachamam yinagim, the merciful ones shall lead. Says Rabbi Nachman, very simple. Hainu mishu rachaman, hu yachali esmanik. Only a person who has compassion in other people, he can be a leader. If a person doesn't have compassion and the leadership comes from a place, on the contrary, of like chas v'shalom, the opposite of that, that's not leadership. Leadership needs to come from a place of genuinely wanting to care for other people, right? That's what it is. Hu yachali esmanik. The rachman kazeh. And when we look toward the model of this kind of leadership, and really every kind of Jewish leadership, but ultimately this kind, who rak Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the ultimate exemplary embodiment of this. Ki hu ha manig Yisrael, because Moshe Rabbeinu was our leader, v'hu yiyah ha manig la'asid, and he will also be our leader, ki masha haya hu sheyiyah, because as the Pasuk says, what was will again be, and the Zohar Kadosh teaches that Moshe Rabbeinu is what's called manig, is called goyal rishon, right? He was the first redeemer from our first national exile, and he's also goyal achron, and he will come back as the soul of Moshe Mashiach. Moshe's gematria Shiloh. Shiloh is one of the words for Mashiach. Ad ki yavoi Shiloh, right? Is a reference to Mashiach, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu himself, and that's why the Rosh Tevos, the first letters of the words Ma Shahaya Hu, spells Moshe, right? Ma Shahaya Hu Sheyeh. That's from the Arizal, and we see that Rabbi Nachman is making reference to that, right? What was will again be, and that's Moshe. Moshe was, and he will come back again to lead us. Ki Moshe Rabbeinu Hayla Rachmanis Be'emes Al Yisrael. We find no other leader in Jewish history who had mercy on our nation like Moshe Rabbeinu, to the point that Umasar Nafshe Bishvil Yisrael, he literally gave his life for Am Yisrael. Behishlich Nafshe Mineged, and he threw his own soul, his own consideration, his own legacy, his own life to the side. And it was not about himself at all, not an iota by Moshe Rabbeinu. There was no self. There was just mission. And he suffered for that. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, forget the Jewish nation. Forget them. Forget your leadership, your mission. Forget that. They did the Chete Egel, and Hashem says, I'll wipe them out. I'll turn you into a Goy Gadol. I'll turn you into a great nation. And he didn't care, because he didn't imagine Moshe Rabbeinu could have become the new Avram Avinu. He could everything could have been drawn back to him, and he could have instituted everything brand new from start, and he gave all that up. Rak Amar, and he said, "Im tisa chatasam," as we all know, he says, "If you'll forgive them, great. Beim ayin, and if not, what did he say? Mecheinina misifrecha, wipe me out of your book, take me out of the Torah." And I suggested, maybe in the course of this year or elsewhere, that if we understand the Torah more deeply, not just as the book, but as the code of reality, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, take me out of the back end code of all of existence, right? Just for,
take me out of the story.
Take me out of the whole story, not just of the book, you know, take my name out. Take me out of existence. Because his whole mahus, his whole being, centered around this element. And I had this thought earlier today, and then I was preparing this year, and it came up again. You know, the bracha that we make in the morning, Shalaya Sani Goy, is a bit of a difficult bracha. It's a bit of a contentious bracha in the modern age. It is. You know, and it's. I'll be honest. It's a difficult bracha for me to make. I don't understand why they formulated it that way. I'd be much more comfortable with the formulation Baruch Shasani Yisrael. Could understand that. You know, could understand that Baruch Shalaya Sani Goy. It's a bit difficult. It's a bit difficult to say, but it's also a bit difficult not to say, right? Because that's what Chazal said. So and we can understand it, we can explain it, and so on, we can contextualize it. But I was thinking maybe one of the Perushim could be connected to this bracha. Where else do we find the words Asa and Goy so closely like we do in this Pasuk, where Hashem told to Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, forget the Bnei Yisrael, the Eschel Goy Gadol, I'll make you into a nation on yourself. And maybe this is what we're referencing in a very deep way. We're saying, Baruch Shalaya Sani Goy. Fortunate am I that I'm not in the state that Moshe Rabbeinu could have theoretically been in, to have him turned into a whole nation, in as much as he would sever his bond with the rest of the people, if he would give up on the Bnei Yisrael. So we start our day saying, I, like Moshe Rabbeinu, in my own tiny leadership capacity, I'm not giving up on any Jew, not for anything. Not even if you give me the capacity to turn into a nation, a whole nation. Baruch Shalaya Sani Goy, didn't make me into a nation. Me like Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm giving up everything, Rabbeinu Shalom. You want to turn me into a whole nation? Forget that. Baruch Shalaya Sani Goy, I don't give up on any Jew. Bit of a deeper, an alternate interpretation of that bracha. Of course, that's not actually what it means, but it could be something else to consider. But this was Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu was full of mercy on his nation. And Moshe Rabbeinu wants to make sure that the world is settled mibnei Adam, by people, by humans. Ki ikra Adam hu adas. Because to be human is to be a person who lives with this broader awareness. A person who's not caught up in the external appearance of what's taking place on a simple, basic, primal level, but a person who's aware of the like we said, the meta narrative, the greater story, the reality that there is a place beyond time and beyond space, where HaKadosh Baruch already knows the end from the beginning, and the story's already been told, and everything is unfolding the way that it needs to unfold. Umi she'ein lo das, and a person who doesn't live with this kind of awareness, einam in a yishuv, he's considered, he's not part of yeshuva shalaylam. This is not the settling of the world. Ve'einam echun v'shem adam klal. In a certain sense, he's almost not a person. Raku b'chinas chaya b'demus adam. Like an animal who looks like a human. Crazy thing. Now again, it's all relative, right? This is not to say to look down on people, but to understand what a person could be if they lived with Das, vis-a-vis that, otherwise we're not manifesting our potential humanity if we're not living in this way. So Moshe Rabbeinu Hoyle Rachmanos, Moshe Rabbeinu had this mercy, and he engaged in wanting to settle the world. He wanted that the whole world should be settled with people. With people who are really humans, people who are living with consciousness, not with self-doubt, not with chalishas hadas, right? But with chizuk. Ki hu pasach lanu ar hadas. So Moshe Rabbeinu opened for us the gates of awareness. Kama shekasav ata reisal hadas. You know today ki Hashem hu alekim. That all of Elikim, which is constriction, which is difficulty, which knocks us into what's called Katnus Demoichen that we learned about. Elokim is Midas Hadin, it's Gematria Hateva, nature, where we fall into the Krirus of Amalek, the coldness of Amalek who comes upon us, Asher Karcha Baderech, with the consciousness, we just had Purim, the consciousness of Mikre, to say that everything is just happenstance and the world is just devolving. People who don't live with faith, the world is not moving toward anything. It's not coming from anything, and it's a mess. It's a mess, and the mess continues to grow ever more chaotic as each and every moment passes.
It's not just a lack of consciousness, it's the actual active consciousness of Amalek that it's mikra. It's not like...
Right, we would call that a lack of consciousness, but it's a different kind of thinking. Right, it is, yes, it is a worldview. But vis-a-vis like what we're calling really consciousness, sure, it's a shita. Yeah. It's a shita, it's an anti-consciousness shita. Remember, Amalek is connected to the mind. Reishis goyim Amalek. They have, they're erasious. We learned that Amalek is the philosoph, right? Is the cold, rational, you know, materialist philosopher to say, like, give it up. There's no greater meaning. There's no greater story. There's no captain to the ship. It's heading straight for a bridge, right? And right, current events. And it's very deep, right? What does that mean? It means that we're breaking down all bridges in society. Right? If the ship has no power, then if we don't believe that this world is animated, then that's the reason that all bridges are collapsing between one human and another human, between one circumstance and another circumstance. We're not seeing the interconnectivity of things.
No string theory.
No string theory. Exactly. The deepest way. And so Moshe Rabbeinu gave us this awareness. Ata reisa ladas. He taught us ki Hashem hu halikim. That all of our experience in our lives of constriction, of difficulty, it's yud, ke, vav, ke. Ah, it doesn't feel that way. That's the point. That is the point. It's not supposed to feel that way. But that's where we can become human. That's where we can transcend our small experience of the difficult challenge, where we think this is where God isn't, and we become bigger. And we say, no, this is the nisayon. This is why I was put in this world. This is why I'm experiencing this challenge. So that it can shine the light of das here, can shine the light of awareness here. Ki Moshe pasach hasadas, Moshe Rabbeinu opened this gate of awareness, v'gila lanu, and he revealed to us ki yesh alikim shalat ba'aretz. This is why Am Yisrael are positioned as the antithesis to Amalek, because literally what we stand for is the opposite of what Amalek stands for. Amalek again stands for mikre. Amalek stands for happenstance. Amalek stands for krirus. The world is cold. It's not alive. It's dead. Everything is dead. Just dead matter. And Am Yisrael say, no, the world is alive. The world has a soul. The world has a story. The world has a beginning and a middle and an end. And things are coming toward rectification. And that everything is good. You know, that's Am Yisrael. Everything's for a reason. And over here we really come to the fundamental point. We'll end with this. Ki ikar harachmanos, because the main mercy that a person can have on Am Yisrael, who kish Yisrael am kadosh noifum chas v'shalom ba'avoinos rachman litzlan. So when a Jew is falling into a cycle of sin, this is the worst thing ever. When a person falls into sin. Because all the most difficult pain in the world, they're considered like nothing, connected in relation to, in comparison to, the great burden of a guilty conscience. There's nothing worse, nothing heavier than a person who feels like they're weighed down by the guilt of their actions.
It's not even the action, it's the guilt of the action.
That's right. Hamaseh ha'kavich al avoinus. When a Jewish person falls into a lifestyle of sin, chas v'shalom, you know, as the heart of the world, as the conscience of the world, we can't run away from conscience. We call it Jewish guilt. Why do we feel that? Because we're so sensitive to a Jew cannot convince himself that doing something that's improper is proper. We can't. It'll always come back to haunt us. We can't get away from it. As much as we try to convince ourselves, deep in our deepest recess of our Jewish heart, it's a heavy burden. Zehu masoy kavid ma'oid. It's a really heavy burden. She efshar lisa klal amaisa akavad hazeh. A Jew can't carry that burden. But bechinas the pasuk in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, ke masoy kavid yichvedu bimeni. My sins have become like a heavy burden, yichvedu bimeni, that's too heavy for me. I'm weighed down by it. Because a person who knows the preciousness, the holiness, the purity of the Jewish essence, and he knows where we come from in the spiritual realms, and he knows ruchnius v'dakos shel Yisrael, the true purity and refinement of the Jewish soul, who yodea, such a person knows, yodea, das, meaning exalted, expanded consciousness, moichin de gadlus, he knows Yisrael imrchaikim legamer me'avain, a Jew is eternally distant from sin, has nothing to do with it. No matter what a person's involved in, I mean, you're a prince. You don't. So no matter what it is, you're essentially, fundamentally a prince. Nothing changes that. Such a person has nothing to do, has no connection to sin in accordance with our essential primal holiness. There's nothing as heavy for a Jew then when we're laden with this burden of being drawn to and involved in things that are fundamentally opposed to what we are, to who we are. Chas v'shalom rachman litzlan. So what's the job of Moshe Rabbeinu? And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu's whole thing, whenever Am Yisrael fell into sin, what did he do? He didn't give up on us. He didn't give up on us. That's what we say in the morning. Baruch Shalom Yasani Goy. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu didn't allow himself to be turned into a nation. We don't allow ourselves to give up on anybody else. We sacrifice whatever the greatest gift that we could imagine Hashem giving us to turn us into the, you know, to the father of a new nation. No, I don't want that. I want to maintain this expanded level of awareness and consciousness about every other Jew, that no matter what it looks like, they're covered in the burdens of sin. I don't allow myself to become blind to who it is that they really truly are.
What kind of father of a nation would you have been had you given up?
Beautiful. Right. Exactly. Right.
Next time it's gonna happen, we get up again.
Exactly. Can't father a nation that way, right? Kigoin, right? Kigoin b'meraglim, by the meraglim, it's all the different stories. Kiyada, because Moshe Rabbeinu never lost sight of the truth. He knew, and they're so holy, How could they carry burdens of sin? We got to free them. We got to help them see who they really are. We got to help them grow their consciousness, not to become self-identified with the snake. The snake is an external being. The snake is not me. All of my behavior is not who I am. I am what I want. And that part of me that feels guilty, that part of me that knows that I'm not supposed to be doing these things, the part of me that wants out, the part of me that yearns and that davens to Hashem, Hashem, free me. That's who I really am. And in that sense, we're mechazik ourselves. We can see ourselves in a broader sense. We don't look at ourselves through the lens of katnis demoichin, which is the lens of giving up, which is the lens of hopelessness, which is the lens of amalek, which is the lens of saying asher karcha baderech, that along the journey they come and they attack us and say, forget it. What are you, who are you fooling? You'll never make it. But the godless demoichin of Moshe Rabbeinu was never to give up on yourself. Wait, 1 second. Let's just get to that. Uve emes. And here's the deepest thing. We talk about this for another hour, but we'll close now. Where did it come from in the first place, Chas v'Shalom, that a person ever fell into a sin in the first place? Says Rabbi Nachman, Hurak alidei she'in le'das. It's just because initially you didn't actually know how precious you were. You didn't actually know who you are. You didn't actually believe in yourself strongly enough. The Gemara in Saita tells us a person never does an aveira in the first place unless a spirit of folly, and interpreted by Rabbi Nachman means more intrinsically, meaning a self level of folly, not knowing who I am. This is the worst thing. So we have to give people back their dignity. We have to give people back. We have to break the cycle. Because what happens? A person feels shame, right? The unhealthy kind of shame, where they don't feel any self-worth. That brings them into sinning. What does that do? That makes them feel even worse about themselves. What's that going to do? That brings them back into sinning. And so on and so forth until it's a cycle. Says Rabbi Nachman, what? We should go and give mussar to such a person? Mussar is the last thing he needs. Because Rabbi Nachman's genius. You don't need, the person doesn't need to feel worse about himself than he already feels. You need to help the person see himself in a different light. And it's a completely different approach. Chassidus is a different approach. Chizuk is what they need. They don't need to be weakened. Because they only fell into this place is because they had such a constricted view of who they are and such little self-worth. Pump them up. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu's response was when Am Yisrael fell into chet. Hashem says, I'm going to punish them. He says, punish them. What? They don't need to be punished. They need to be hugged. They need to be cherished. They need to be loved. They need to be strengthened. An incredible thing. Says Rabbi Nachman, and that's really what he's saying. Where did they get to Averis in the first place? It's because they didn't have Das. So this is the most important thing. And here he makes reference to the Pasuk that we learned in the context of the first teachings. They're very connected. Ashrei Maskil Eldol. Right? And that's the greatest thing. This is what it means to have Rachmanis on someone else and Rachmanis on ourselves. Ki'in ani elman adas. The greatest sense of poverty, like we said, as a person who's lacking this really deep awareness, who we are, how great Hashem's mercy is, how everything is Hashem's love. Ata reis ladas ki Hashem hu elikim, Shema Yisrael, Hashem elikenu, that the elikenu is Hashem, Hashem echad, echad is gematria, ahava, it's all love. It's all love. It is all love. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is loving us every minute of every day. We have to see the world with greater lenses. We have to see ourselves with greater lenses. Love, and we have to have mercy on other Jews, which means lahachnas baidas. And sometimes when we can't feel it ourselves, says Rabbi Nachman, and that's the practical point. Let's just go back to that last line of the previous teaching. If we can't find a way of getting there ourselves, what should you do? Even when you don't feel like it, specifically when you don't feel like it, reach out to somebody else and give them chizik. Help someone else see themselves in a deeper way. Remind someone else of their essential holiness. Be a little bit Moshe Rabbeinu for them. And when you can do that, boom, it's reciprocal. So these two teachings are very important. They go together. There's a lot of ideas here. Hashem should bless us to really take them to heart. The message of Moshe Rabbeinu, that we should merit to move from katnus to godless. And in so doing, we should open up the Shari Rachamim of the Shem Kel and the Shem Yud Kevavki, Ki Kel Deus Hashem, should be the beneficiaries of Hashem's endless rachamim, Ki Loi Chalu Rachamov, Bezus Hashem L'chaim.